Well, and first and foremost, cheers. Hi, everybody. This is Busted Business Bureau. This is literally a breaking news, Busted Business Bureau. I need to say up top that I'm not a journalist. I'm simply a comedy podcaster. But sometimes a series of events happens where a Busted Business Bureau episode just springs forth right from the ground. And that's what today is. It's going to be talking about a series of events that happened 10 days ago. It's going to be the epic beef between Deal and Rippling. Have you heard of these companies?
No, I have not.
That is just absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I love when companies have beef. Sorry, I decided to not talk into the microphone for a second, but I'm back.
Today's guest is the number one fan of Busted Business Bureau, dare I say. It is my dear, cherished friend of many years, Alex Wood.
Woo-hoo, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited that you're back on the podcast.
Mama Biz.
Now, Patreon subscribers have heard you before on the podcast.
Yes.
But it was a Patreon exclusive episode.
Yeah.
Now, since then, quite a lot has happened, I guess, in the world of tech. And you work in tech, right?
Technically, yes. I've kind of weaseled my way in there. I'm a project manager for like a tech consulting firm.
Can you explain to me in like three words what it is you do?
Digital business transformation. That's three words for you, baby. So like a good example of it is like there was a recent like tech boom that happened like a couple years ago where a lot of companies realized that they basically need to have their own enterprise software to keep up with like apps and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one way that I explain it really well is that like Coke machines, like where you get your soda, for a long time you would just go up and press it and click it. There's no digital interaction with it. There's no way to get data.
Yeah.
But now there's those Coke Remix machines that have a screen
and
you can tell them what kind of, and Wendy's baby. And you can tell them what kind of soda you want and then you can get your soda and you get to interact with a screen,
mm-hmm.
but also they get your data on like what soda's popular, what combos are like mm-hmm. you doing and stuff like that. So what my job is that we'll work with companies that are looking to do that for themselves. It's usually not as glamorous as Coke machines, but that's just a kind of a good way to explain it.
Who gave you the Coke machine example? Is that something you thought of yourself or is that something that...
No, like if you were to look up like what tech consulting is now, like that's a pretty common example.
Oh.
Another one is like menu signs that change constantly based on like how people are ordering that day.
Oh.
Yeah, so like if you go to like a McDonald's or a Dunkin' Donuts and you look at their digital screens, like they're throwing ads up there that like are kind of changing daily. This might be like, maybe I'm glamorizing it a little bit, but like they can change that stuff a lot quicker as opposed to like when they had to put the letters
mm-hmm.
up on the sign. So like if you're at a restaurant and like no one's ordering the potatoes, they're not going to highlight the potatoes all the time at your restaurant, but
mm-hmm.
like restaurant down the street, people love the potatoes, they're going to highlight the potatoes.
Okay. Now, that's not necessarily glamorizing it, but it did explain things in a way that I can understand.
So and I'm a project manager, so I don't have to know much more than that. So, like, if there's any coding questions or something, no.
Well, there's actually a coding quiz on the podcast, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I took HTML in college once, so.
Ooh.
Yeah. Made a website about share. Actually, can we cut that out?
Is the website about share still up?
I don't know. It was on like on DePaul's server, I guess. So any hackers out there, please fund my website, please.
Okay. So let me say up top that absolutely none of what's going to be said in this episode has been litigated in a court of law. So there's a lot of allegedlies that are forthcoming. However, the allegations, first of all, are too fucking funny to not recount in a podcast. And second of all, they like have screenshots. It's sort of like, They caught this man in 4K, mama.
Oh, is beef. Like screenshots being shared?
Oh, screenshots beef. It's very, very funny.
Okay, nice.
So let's anthropomorphize some HR software companies, shall we?
What's that mean?
So this is about two companies, Deal and Rippling, and those names are going to come up a lot.
Yeah.
But there's just no, you don't think of anything when you think of those words, and I think that's kind of intentional on the part of tech companies.
Yes.
Unless you're like a math dork, you would know that rippling is a type of heuristic reasoning. That's what Wikipedia told me. I don't know if that's actually true.
I don't know what heuristic is.
I also went down that rabbit hole, and then I went all the way down the rabbit hole. I'm going to cut this part out. I don't even care. But to gaze heuristics, and gaze heuristics is the reasoning of There's a whole paper that was written that is, do fielders know how to catch the ball or simply where to go? And it's like using deductive reasoning as a fielder in a baseball field, as one is, to deduce like where the ball is going. You don't have the exact like trajectory, angle, or speed. Like you don't know that, but when you look at it, like you know where it's going. So it's a way that nerds describe looking.
Yeah, wait, what?
This is a whole funny thing.
Math for eyesight?
So, anyways, Deal and Rippling, two very vague words. And so who are they? What's the sort of background on them? Both these companies are less than 10 years old, which makes it even funnier that they're both billion-dollar companies.
Oh.
Both valued around like $12 billion, I'm pretty sure. Let's start with Rippling first. Rippling is older. It was founded in 2016 by a CEO called Parker Conrad. He's one of
Parker,
the co-founders.
Okay.
Parker Conrad has red hair. Seems like a cool guy. The branding of Rippling is purple and yellow. Okay. He went to Harvard. He worked on the school paper, and he got fired from the school paper. Or he got fired. His grades started slipping because he was working too hard on the school paper, and then they told him to stop coming to Harvard.
Oh, okay.
Diva.
So dedicated to journalism.
Apparently that happens to a lot of people who are on the school paper at Harvard.
Okay, yes.
So an example of a product that Rippling makes, which it helps me understand what HR software means. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're a bartender and you're arriving at your shift. What you would ordinarily do, or I guess if you're, you know, a lot of companies, a lot of bars, you would just like tell the shift manager, I came in at 5:30 and I left at 2 a.m. They physically write that down. When they're making your paycheck, they have to copy that onto somewhere else, you know, calculate how much they owe you, whatever. They send you the paycheck, it gets approved, whatever. So what you would do if all of your employees had Rippling, if you were a bartender, it would track your location on your phone if you allowed it to. When you arrive, it'll say, do you want to check in for work? You click a little button that says yes. You click a little button when you clock out. That information is directly sent to the manager, who then gets showed a button like, do you want to approve their paycheck for this 2 weeks? You look at it. It looks fine. Sure. Click done.
Yes. Yeah. Familiar.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Optimizing HR software. And
used them before when I was a server, but the tracking location thing is new to me because like sometimes I'd be in the parking lot and be like, I'm here.
It's just like I'm gathering that from the little info screen that they had on their website of like, how does this work? It showed like a face of a bartender like in the little location, so I assume there's GPS tracking that's involved in some way.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just in their demo video. But still, it's a way to optimize payroll and make everything easier for a business. That's the sort of software they make. They make a lot more software than that, but that's like the one that I could fucking understand. So some background on Parker Conrad. He was the... I'm going to explain
That's
you...
such a name.
I know, such a name.
Yeah.
I looked up portly ginger celebrities so I could, like, say he looks like someone, and that did not yield any results.
Not portly.
I mean, yeah.
He's portly?
He's a little portly.
Okay.
I don't mean that any particular way.
No, first I was picturing an Eddie Redmayne, like a long, tall, and handsome.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to change.
Yeah,
we're thinking Gimli. And that is said with love.
It's just like
admiration, even.
The speed at which you had another portly redhead at the ready.
Oh, well, yes.
So,
I have a type.
So, Parker, I'm going to explain to you a lot of Twitter beef that is longstanding, and it is relevant for later. So, Parker Conrad used to be the CEO of Zenefits, which is something similar to what I described, except it has to do with like employee healthcare.
Yes.
So it's sort of a way to optimize companies giving healthcare to their employees, tracking coverage, whatever. Long story short, Zenefits, under Parker Conrad's stewardship, had a number of what you could call oopsies related to licensing, compliance.
Yes.
So there was an SEC investigation. It happens to everyone.
And what is that?
The Securities Exchange Commission.
Mm-hmm.
So the Zenefits board says to Parker Conrad, you should resign. And allegedly, that he said this story on a podcast. He was like, I was happy to resign. Like, it was super amicable. We had drafted a press release and we were ready to send it. And then the press release that came out was written actually by the COO at the time, who changed it and had sort of rewritten it to be a knife in the back of like, everything that's going wrong with our company is Parker Conrad's fault. This guy's a fucking loser, blah, blah, blah. Do you ever watch Succession?
No, but I'm thinking of Mean Girls.
He's a fuggly cow.
Yes.
Simon Dean George.
Okay, perfect.
The COO blames Conrad for all of Zenefits' wrongdoing. Years later.
That's crazy.
I know. Parker Conrad then goes on to found Rippling, which is a super successful company. Like, he's relatively gone unscathed. But he's hated this guy for years because this guy, like, totally blew up his spot.
Yeah.
Now, that guy's name is David Sacks. He's a really big Trump supporter, which is basically the only thing you need to know about him. Years later, okay, do you remember that political moment before Biden dropped out? When Trump just already had the election, like, in hand. He was ready to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Biden drops out, And for one brief shining second, there was like a huge glimmer of hope of like, okay, Biden dropped out. Maybe Kamala will be the nominee. Like, maybe we can win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That also had Republicans spiraling because they were like, oh, fuck, the super easy candidate just dropped out. Fuck. So the day that happens, David Sacks tweets something like, this was a coup. You know, like, the Democratic Party orchestrated a coup. I'm mad about it. It was an obvious coup. Because they were all, like, really mad that the easy candidate got, you know, fucked.
Yeah.
So then Parker Conrad quote tweets that and says, he knows something about coups. Gaggy.
Oh, my. And how many years ago between their beef, like?
This was, let's see, Zenefits was like 2014, so this is now 2020.
So they're longstanding. Yes, okay.
So then Parker Conrad tweets that thing like, oh, this guy knows about coups. And then everyone on Twitter starts dunking on that guy, David Sacks. They're all like, by the way, we hate him.
Oh,
he's
perfect.
The worst guy in Silicon Valley. Like, Parker Conrad, despite losing the battle of Zenefits in 2014 or whatever, he won the war.
Mm, mm-hmm.
The culture war is on Parker Conrad's side firmly.
Yes.
He seems like a cool guy. He goes on podcasts. He tells the same few stories. He's known his wife since middle school. And then they re-met in college.
I love monogamy.
Love one.
Yeah, love.
So that is who Parker Conrad is. Winner of Twitter beef. A lover. A Gimli type.
A husband and father.
I don't even know if he's... I don't think he's a father. It didn't say in his Wikipedia.
Well, he has cats.
Well. Okay, so that's Rippling. That is who we're talking about in the story. Who is... I mean, like... It's a billion-dollar tech firm. I'm sure they're involved in something that is terrible that has yet to come to light. But for all intents and purposes for this story, that's the good guy.
Okay.
Is Rippling.
Yeah. Gimli.
Gimli.
A good guy.
My favorite guy from Lord of the Rings, dare I say.
Ooh, Samwise, though.
Samwise and Frodo, have I said this on the podcast before, really made me like understand homosexuality before I even knew what that was. Like, it was playing on a mall TV, and it was like the scene of like Sam like carrying Frodo up the hill or whatever, and I was like, they have such a tender connection that makes me question things.
And then when they argued,
oh my God.
Just like that.
No, like, Samwise and Frodo were, like, the original homo awakening for me, I think.
Yeah, they were the, what's their hometown called? The Friar?
What?
They were the Friar's version of Bert and Ernie.
So let's talk about Deal.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry.
Okay.
Every gay reference that comes out of this podcast is welcome. Okay, so Alex Boisiz is the CEO of Deal. And he is a French guy, is an Israeli immigrant, or like he immigrated to Israel.
Okay.
The logo for Deal is spelled DEEL, and their branding is like blue, purple, and white. He's pictured in Forbes Israel's Finance 30 Under 30 wearing a backwards cap with his hand to his chin. Does that give you a picture?
It really, really does. I also love that you're giving me the colors of their companies, too, so I know we have purple versus blue.
From what I can tell, Deal does the exact same fucking thing as Rippling, right? Okay. It also automates payroll or whatever. It was started in this thing called the Y Accelerator Program, a program which accepts a small amount of business applicants per year, shovels money and advice at them, and then they... you know, obviously have a pretty good start in the business world.
Mm-hmm.
Famous Y Accelerator alum include Airbnb, Reddit, and Deal.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
All started from the same incubator sort of program. Neither Alex Boisiz nor his father, Philippe, have Wikipedia pages, which is pretty interesting.
Sketchy.
It's weird that you could be dealing in billions of dollars and only have 2,700 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, are they referenced on the Wikipedia page? Or the company has a Wikipedia page.
It does not.
Whoa.
It especially does not right now, as we will find out why.
Okay.
So Alex Boisiz and his father, Philippe, both work at Deal.
Okay.
He is well entwined with his father, who is in... I've maybe said Alex Boisiz is the CEO, and I may have lied. I think his dad might actually be the CEO. But Alex founded the company. His dad works there. They both work in tandem with each other.
CEO, founder, president, like, it's all the same.
It's all just words, baby.
Yeah. The guy that sends some emails and tells people what to do.
Truly, truly. So that is Deal. Is sort of like, the backwards hat with the hand on the chin is what really like.
Such a good picture.
Yeah. It's everything to me. And then posting that yourself on Instagram to get 100 likes and mostly bots replying to you being like, I sent you a DM. It's crazy business.
Do you have the picture in your...
I'll
okay, sorry.
Give you the...
I saw pictures in your notes, and I was.
I do have pictures forthcoming in my notes. No, that's okay. I'm literally going to type in Alex Boisiz's Instagram and show it to you. I can find it very, very easily.
Oh my gosh!
Here we go.
Okay, what is that lighting? Why is he green?
Paint me a word picture of what you're seeing.
I see almost like a Citizen of Oz in a way, but that is truly because of the lighting and the coat.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a white leather coat. Mm-hmm. So if you add that on top of the hand on the chin and the hat backwards for Forbes.
For Forbes Israel's Finance 30 Under 30.
Was there no stylist on set? I say this, I'm wearing a thrifted sweater right now.
But it's a thrifted Harvard sweater that honestly looks like you graduated from there.
Thank you, Elle Woods.
Yes. So these are the two companies that we're dealing with, if you can, you know, anthropomorphize them in your head away. So what happened? It's time to go to June of 2023. We need to build a third man. But here's the thing. We don't know who this man is. And none of what's forthcoming will ever describe this man. So we need to create a man.
Ooh. Getting hot.
I'll tell you what we know about him first. Okay, first. This man is hired by Rippling in June of 2023.
Okay.
Rippling launches an office in Dublin by September of 2023. And he's either from Ireland or he moved there to work at the office. Either way, he lives in Ireland.
Okay.
His job is global payroll compliance manager. His responsibilities include, quote, hiring payroll specialists, country launches, and setting up payroll processing and operations for approximately 15 countries in which Rippling offers global payroll services. Specialists to ensure timely and accurate performance of local payroll activities for customers, as well as resolving payroll customer-related escalations related to the countries within his job scope.
Wow.
Mama. he's got money.
Yeah.
For reasons that I can only assume will become clear, we don't have a name, description, or photo of this man because he is essentially a random civilian who has, at the time of writing, not been personally charged with a crime. But it'll be really hilarious if he is, though.
Well, how can you charge an invisible man?
So, who is he? Who do you want to be picturing the whole time as we're talking through the story?
I mean, I've been picturing, like, that superhero that is invisible but, like, wraps Band-Aids all around him so you can see his frame and, like, sunglasses.
He's like part mummy, part invisible man. Is he really fast?
Of course.
Of course.
And fast mouthed. But, you know, when he speaks, everyone's like, what? Mm-hmm. Who said that?
Okay. So that's who you'll be picturing this whole time. Fantastic.
Wonderful.
As a result of his employment with Rippling, as I'm sure you can well in picture, he gets access to all of Rippling's Slack channels. Now, Mama, are you on Slack?
I'm not.
You're not on Slack?
I'm on Teams.
Ooh, okay.
Which is worse. I used to be on Slack. And
now, I don't know in which ways Teams are worse, because I was only ever on Slack in college for Demonthon.
That's when I was on Slack. Working in admissions.
Are you on Discord?
I am on Discord.
Personally?
We use it for rugby.
So, for those perhaps unfamiliar, who might be familiar with Discord, I guess, you make certain channels on Slack, as you do, I assume, on Teams and in Discord. And that is where discussion for a certain topic will happen. That is your user experience, is you have to click into a channel to find discussion that's going on in the channel. But if you type in, like, into the specific Slack or Discord or whatever, a word, it will pop up every channel that has that word.
Yes.
So if you're looking for, like, for example, the dogs that people post at your company, you can type in dogs. Mm-hmm. Maybe the dog channel comes up, you click in, and then you're in that channel. You're thinking very hard.
Yeah, well, it's basically like companies have their own, like, Reddit at this point, and they're like, employees populate this website.
That is so much better of a description than Discord, because it's like little forums, you know, like little... Yeah. Channels, forums, whatever you want to call it. So, this is from Rippling's official complaint that we'll talk about, the core complaint. Here is here's some of what this employee has access to, the invisible Band-Aid man. He gets access to the secure internal electronic messaging application, Slack, which contains confidential information about current and prospective customers. It also contains Rippling's secure... Oh, I'm sorry. He also has access to Rippling's secure Google Drive repository and Rippling's internal human resources system, which contains information such as names, addresses, and personal cell phone numbers for Rippling employees. Not all Rippling employees have access to the files stored on these platforms. Rather, they must be granted permissions to access specific files. As described above, the restriction is enforced through industry standard authentication protocols, whatever. So he has access to a lot more than other employees, I think, based on this.
But based on his job description that you read, that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, that's the nature of his job. He's allowed to have those permissions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But his job is just payroll compliance, dealing with managers of payroll compliance, and opening new Ripplings,
yeah.
Rippling Juniors.
Like, in the teams that I have, if I'm searching for something, mm-hmm. I can only search in the channels that I have been added to, or that mm-hmm. like I already have, like, predetermined access.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming someone of his level has a higher position
level of
in,
access.
Like, the... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, one more fact. So we're still in 2023. Mm-hmm. Rippling has actually sold several products to Deal. However, as Deal grows steadily into Rippling competition, Rippling drops Deal as a customer in 2023. So they've severed their relationship as, like, customer provider of services. Which, whatever. I mean, like, that happens.
Yeah.
So, 2024. Remember that Twitter beef I spent so long explaining to you?
I could not forget it.
Sort of a Chekhov's gun that Rippling... is actually fucking savage when it comes to advertising. I can only assume encouraged by Parker Conrad, the CEO of Twitter beef.
Okay.
Rippling, now in active tension with Deal over, like, shared customers, a lot of, you know, like, they're competitors.
Yeah.
They release a sort of scathing advertisement on their website, The Snake Game. So you go to rippling.com/en.gb/snake game, and the first thing you read is, "Don't buy snake oil. Deal often claims to be a one-stop solution for all your global payroll needs, but their customers pay the price for gaps beneath the surface. Play this game to find the difference between Deal's claims and the reality of their product." And then it's that little, like, snake game. Do you know, like, the like, flash thing?
Yeah.
You can lose, because I lost 3 times when I was trying to play the snake game.
You didn't think you could lose?
I mean, I just thought it'd be, like, rude to lose. I'm trying to find out more about how much Deal sucks. And now I've lost because I'm bad. I have bad motor skills.
So I learned you can lose this game. B2B2B, like, smear campaigns is crazy to me, because it's only going to be relevant to, like,
to three fucking people.
Yes.
On the planet.
But it will affect a lot of, like, people just trying to do their job.
Mm-hmm. So as you play the snake game, Deal's marketing claim comes up of pay anyone, anywhere, in minutes. And then the reality comes up, it can actually take 3 days to run global payroll. Devastating. I mean, am I right? Or another claim that Deal makes, customize access levels depending on what data you want to see each person be able to see. And then the reality is, not even managers have customized permission settings on Deal.
That's big, though,
that's
because
gaggy.
Like, that's full work. Like, that can take a lot of...
Mm-hmm. No third parties are involved in handling sensitive employee information. Wrong. The reality is, relies on many third parties to support solutions like contractor management, ben admin, background checks, PEO, and more. So, mama, they had receipts.
Oh, wow.
So, when you play, like I said, when you play this game, as I found out by playing the game, you can lose. but also, an automatic chatbot with a real sales representative's name will send you a message, like, introducing themselves, saying, "I see you're playing the snake game. Anything you need clarified?" Which... I'm familiar with
how to win.
Cheat codes for snake game, please. I've lost 3 times. I just want to know what Deal sucks
at. I want the coupon code.
So, like I said, it's a real sales representative's name, and I know that because my room, Sarah, works in tech, and she works in something similar, right, of automating the workflow so that when someone clicks on your website, like, a sales representative's face automatically comes up and is like, "What can I help you with?"
Yeah.
So, what is obvious to me then, just by knowing her job and by knowing other people in tech, is that that is a real person. It's not a chatbot with a fake name or whatever. Like, that's someone's real thing, even though it was automated to be sent to you. Someone's going to read your message that you send back.
Yeah.
So, when I told the sales representative that I was a comedy podcaster working on an episode about their company, they immediately disconnected. But anyways.
You didn't be like, I'm a HR specialist looking for... the truth. Like,
not at all. Because I'll tell you why. The head of sales at Deal, Chris Lee, logs on to the snake game at 9:30 a.m. He goes, he gets the same automated chatbot with a different name that I got that says, "Hey, anything I can help clarify?" His reply was, "Suck a dick." But instead of writing dick, he wrote 8 == D to, like, form the shape of a dick.
An artist, yeah.
So you might be wondering,
you showed me that.
You might be wondering, why would I know about this private, frustrated conversation between Deal's head of sales and Rippling's random sales representative? Why do I know that? Because they posted the exchange on Twitter. They posted this They posted, Chris Lee, head of sales, everybody. And they posted Chris Lee interacting with Rippling, saying, suck a dick to the Snake Game.
Oh my God. And the can I read the reply?
Please.
Thanks, Chris. But then the tweeting that back.
Yes.
After your company made a full-ass website with a game smearing them and you're upset about suck a dick? Like,
well, but also, it's just saying, like, look at how professional, like, we already made the Snake Game.
Yeah.
And we're already smearing them. And look at how irresponsibly and unprofessional they reply.
Yeah.
No. As I post on x.com.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're both up at, like, 10, like, off of some, like, and they're like. Like, go to sleep.
Literally,
you have families.
It's 9:30 in the
clock
morning.
Clock out, Courtney.
Courtney, clock out.
Courtney, take your break.
All of that's in 2024. All of that long in the past.
Can I ask one more question? We might backtrack a bit. But
I know.
How did Ripley know that stuff about Deal to put in the ad?
They have, because they had this really close relationship, and there's a lot, there's a revolving door between Deal employees and Rippling employees that we'll see. And there's also, like, publicly available, or public to them, I guess, information that you can find out about the other company.
Okay.
If you get a customer that's frustrated from Deal that comes over to Rippling that's like, they said we could do it in minutes, but it actually took fucking days, you put that on your website, you know.
Okay.
So, I wrote, before we get into 2025, I need to ask about Slack, but Mama, we already covered Slack. So, we need to go back to the Invisible Man, Mr. Mummy.
Mm-hmm. Which, now I'm giving him more of, like, Daniel Craig.
Okay.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig in Queer. Did you see Queer?
I can't. That'd be triggering. I can't do it.
It wasn't good. It was so
really?
Bored. I was so bored. I left.
Oh. That is actually something you have taught me, and I've, like, carried it with me throughout life. But, like, if something is bad and you don't want to watch anymore, get up and leave.
And they were going to do an ayahuasca trip, like, 3 hours into the movie, and that's what they've been doing the whole time, is trying to find this ayahuasca. And I was like, I don't want to watch that. The movie's already been, like, not gross, as in, like, bodily. I really don't like vomit and poop and stuff. And it wasn't gross in that way, but I was like, I feel like it might get there, and I don't want to see that.
Because of you poop on that?
Well, you vomit a lot on ayahuasca.
Okay.
That's, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to leave. And then a bunch of people who had just left Wicked were like, did you love Wicked? And I was like, actually, no, I just walked out of Queer. And then they made me take a picture of them because it's a mother and daughter.
Perfect. They didn't give it one shit about what movie you've seen. They're like, can you just take our picture?
Yeah. In front of the Alamo Drafthouse elevator in Wrigley. So, okay. When you are working on your company's Slack, they, as what's obvious to me, have access to what you're doing on Slack.
Yes.
What you're looking up, how often you're looking it up, etc. So, this is from the court complaint of Rippling. The log-generated chart below shows that between August and October of 2024, Mr. Mummy rarely previewed any Slack channels consistent with typical employee behavior. Moreover, on the rare occasion in which he did, he previewed channels no more than 4 times in any given month and did so for channels like hashtag people dogs, a channel dedicated to Rippling employees sharing pictures of their
got
dogs.
Got that dog in them.
So, as some examples, he looked up Poland once in September of 2024. He looked up churn updates once in October of 2024. Payments once in August of 2020. Like, it's just not a lot of activity on Slack for previewing channels.
Yeah.
This is the only part of the story that isn't quite complete to me, but perhaps it belies a misunderstanding of Slack. Allegedly, if an employee starts to deviate from the standard behavior, Slack will notify the parents of the company channel. The short of it is, HR notices something going awry with Mr. Mummy's Slack usage. So Rippling's Slack logs show that he began searching and accessing Rippling's Slack channels at an unprecedented rate around November of 2024. Notably, he searched the term deal 23 times per day. And if you look here, this is his Slack activity before.
Oh my God, a chart.
They have a full chart of how many times.
Did you title the chart?
No. What is the chart titled?
Number of times term deal searched per day by deals spy.
So there is one day.
What a name.
On February 14th of 2025, he searched deal almost 150 times in one day.
Oh my God.
Valentine's Day, mama. Clock out.
He's not a good spy either.
And we will be talking.
Oh, I'm not even thinking about Valentine's Day.
It's a lot of how many times he's looking up hashtag deal. I also need to point out that they posted the full like matrix of channels he visited, and he visited hashtag Bernie Wow 35 times in January of this year alone. What is on the Bernie Wow channel, I wonder?
Like, how's Bernie spelled?
B-E-R-N-I-E.
Like Sanders?
Like Sanders. Bernie Wow?
Bernie Wow.
Bernie Wow.
Or is it like Bernie Wow?
It's like, thanks, Obama, but it's Bernie Wow.
Wow.
So I need to remind the court that Mr. Mummy's job has nothing to do with Deal. His job is payroll management, to launch Rippling in certain countries and to hire people to manage Rippling's payroll systems. He has higher access to Slack, though. He has access to every single Slack channel, including the ones about customer satisfaction and churn. So just for the sake of argument here, I'm totally pulling this out of thin air. Rippling has a Slack channel dedicated to, quote, non-public information about each customer and its relationship to Rippling, like pricing data, individual discounts that Rippling's list price applied for that specific customer, information on customer systems and other technologies, information about the customer's relationship with other vendors in Rippling's verticals. Relatedly, Rippling maintains a list of current Rippling customers that are at risk for leaving Rippling, which is churn in the tech world.
Yeah.
For the latter, Rippling manages a dedicated Slack channel that identifies churn risks and assigns a probability likelihood of that particular customer leaving Rippling or considering leaving Rippling. Using that information, Rippling can attempt to resolve the customer's concerns and improve their experience that they stay. Now, say that for the sake of argument, you're a spy for Deal.
Well, but like that's on them for not protecting that channel more. because if he has access to it, there's nothing. I mean, obviously, there's things wrong with him going into it, but he could have went into it once. He could have been a little bit more sneaky about it.
He could have written this down on a pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, for the sake of argument, a spy for Deal, you can access these channels. Do something like download it onto your personal cell phone. And perhaps share that information with Rippling's biggest competitor, Deal. Now, I can only assume you're following this. I did put in a break for in case you weren't following this to re-explain it.
But no, I'm locked in.
So
this espresso martini has me dialed in.
Diva. This is another quote from the complaint. Quote, on just one single day, February 21st, 2025, so almost exactly a month ago, Deal Spy conducted searches that revealed 728 new companies requesting a demo of Rippling's products, 282 in-depth notes from Rippling account executives on companies that were new prospects in the sales pipeline, and thorough information about 26 new deals with existing customers or prospective clients who were evaluating switching to Rippling directly from Deal. And that's one single day. These activities were repeated nearly every single day for 4 months.
Good Lord.
So that's not the only weird thing going on, though.
Yeah. Took them 4 months to figure that out?
They're watching him over the 4 months.
Okay.
And they're realizing, like, okay, mama, there's a problem.
Yeah.
But additionally, between January 29th and February 17th of this year, at least 17 members of Rippling's global payroll operations team were contacted about similar jobs at Deal, and 10 received offers from Deal. Now, according to Rippling's complaint, quote, several of the team members reported that these offers were made without any substantive interview, and only after direct unsolicited contact from Deal's chief operating officer, Dan Westgarth. Westgarth. Some of the team members were contacted directly via WhatsApp, a messaging app that requires knowledge of a person's mobile phone number to send a message. Mm. In one telling case, on January 23rd of 2025, Mr. Westgarth messaged a number of Rippling's global payroll operations team on LinkedIn, presumably because he did not have their phone numbers. 4 days later, on January 27th, the spy visited this one particular individual's page in the Rippling's internal personal directory, which contains employees' personal phone numbers. Later that same day, Mr. Westgarth messaged that team member on WhatsApp, which requires him to know their phone number.
I mean, we literally have to do, like, quarterly trainings on what, like, data you can and can't, like, access and stuff like that. And anything that is that, like, personal is a big, big no-no. Like, he didn't do his training.
Mama, he did not.
He did not do his company
he
required training.
He was sleeping during those videos.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can just click through them, though. Like, they're not that, like...
Those improv actors worked very hard to do those company trainings.
Okay, one time, Jason from the pit crew.
From
RuPaul's, yeah, was the guy giving me like my HR, like, you should not sexually harass.
The fact that you know the pit crew by name on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Fuck. Cut that out.
This whole thing was just a ruse to get you to reveal.
Not for the new seasons though, just the old ones. Just the good ones.
Do they churn a lot of pit crew employees?
I mean, now they do. They're not allowed to wear shoes.
What?
If you watch it, they are not allowed to wear shoes. There's a producer out there that loves their little toesies and is forcing them to wear no shoes on set.
I need to get Derry back to re-record this Drag Race.
Yeah, it is busted and it has changed.
My God. So... Not only is Rippling seeing this Slack information, they are also now noticing that employees' personal contact information is somehow making its way directly over to Deal, which is sort of solidifying their case.
Yeah.
I need you to ponder in this moment. What would you do if you were Rippling and you had all this information presented to you? I want you to work through a plan.
I think my first step would, gather all the screenshots that I have, mm-hmm. and then go to my legal team. If I'm this large of a company, mm-hmm. he must have a legal team. Mm-hmm. I go to them and be like, hey, can you handle this? And then mm-hmm. I turn the other cheek and we continue.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess I don't have that specific level of information, but it seems like that is kind of what they did, because then they form an investigative team. And it's time for a honeypot.
What I think that is might be different than what...
Let's hear what you think that is.
It's a sexual act, no?
Oh, what's... Well, now I want to know.
It's like, can I really say this?
Yes.
Like eating ass with like some stuff in it?
Oh, you like, okay. Is it something sweet?
Honey.
Oh, it's like, what do you mean something sweet? Is it literally honey?
Well, sometimes it's cum.
Oh, I see.
Okay. But what is a honeypot?
Well, so they have him drop his pants and...
continue.
So on March 3rd, 19 days ago, Rippling sets up a private Slack channel called #DDefectors. The name DDefectors alone means nothing to anybody because it is a fake channel.
Mm-hmm.
No one from Rippling accesses this channel for the entire beautiful day that it exists, because nobody has to access that channel. There's no reason you would type that into your thing. However, Rippling was already in contact with Deal separately about... like I mentioned, they have a revolving door of employees always writing to each other, being like, we don't have confidential information, or like, don't try and sue us. Like, they're not bringing anything over. That is the context of the fact that Rippling and Deal are already talking. They're already sending letters to each other. The letter that Rippling writes on March 3rd was only addressed to three people. It was only sent to three people, which is the daddy of the company, Philippe Boisiz.
Not the daddy.
The son with the back of town is his daddy.
Yeah.
And two lawyers. These are the only recipients of this letter. So Rippling's letter to these three people on March 3rd includes a screenshot. The screenshot is entirely fake. And it is supposedly penned by Rippling's chief revenue officer, Matt Plank. So what Rippling is saying to Deal in this letter is like, don't worry, we don't have confidential information. Like, we're not using your employees to get secret information about you. However, we saw this thing in a Slack channel and we thought we should let you guys know about it. And so the screenshot says, it's Matt Plank. Matt Plank says, just learned a few crazy things in the #DDefectors channel, emoji of shock. Number 2 and 3 seem like real WTFs. I know this isn't my area of expertise, but those two things seem like they're pretty illegal or really bad if it became public for them. And then it's redacted for dramatic effect, says Rippling. So they send this to those three people and they say, so we're not taking confidential information about you, but you guys should know that someone posted this in a Slack channel of ours. And so hours later, the spy then looks up Matt Plank 5 times and the DDefectors channel and gets access to the DDefectors channel.
And that's an empty channel.
Channel with no fucking words in it.
Now that's a honeypot. Oh my gosh. Wait, that's messy.
Messy. So, and this is, mind you, 10 days ago.
Is that legal?
It proves then that someone on a higher level or someone acting through the higher level of Deal then contacted the spy and said, there's apparently a D-Defectors channel, which means Deal Defectors. Go look for it and see what they're giving information to Rippling about. So then he goes into this fake channel that nobody else knows about because there's no one actually posting in the channel.
Oh, my. But, like, will gotcha evidence, like, hold up? Like,
I mean, they have them in 4K, Mama.
Yeah, well,
And what is, I mean, like, to further, they wrote it at some point, to further, like, solidify it, no other employee at Rippling accessed this channel. So it's not like anybody accidentally stumbled into it.
Yeah.
There's no reason you would have typed this into your computer.
Other than if you had that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you had that intel that they sent from that letter. Hours later, too.
Parker needs to go on Traders.
Parker needs to go on Traders!
Parker Conrad, if you're listening, talk to Alan Cumming.
So that's what a honeypot is in the espionage world. You know, you've tempted him with this, you know. And again, in the complaint, they said, we redacted it for dramatic effect. There is nothing behind what is redacted in this screenshot. They did it to make it seem way more interesting to Deal.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And they did it. Like, this might be really embarrassing if it gets out. Like, da-da-da-da. That's crazy, Mom.
That is nuts.
Uh-huh. So if you're a Severance fan, which I assume you are not because we've never talked about it. But just for the people, I'm just going to turn to camera, I guess, and explain to the people.
I get it.
It's there's a scene in season 2 where Irving has Helena's head. He's literally drowning her. And he's like, she's a fucking mole. And then he like rips her out. And then she goes, God damn it, do it, Seth. Anyways, it's that moment.
Is that
right
the guy from Parks and Rec?
No. He's the main character. No. it's John Turturro, who is a character actor from many movies and is also the love of my life, the apple of my eye. You probably would not know him because he's not been in much that like.
He's in Transformers.
He's in Transformers! Why do you know that?
My movie references are very minimal, but like.
But Transformers?
Well, he was good in it.
He's good in everything!
Yeah, yeah.
He makes everything so much better. Oh my God, he's so good in Severance and he's gay in it.
Is he gay in life?
No. Mm. But him and Christopher Walken are gay together in Severance.
Christopher Walken.
Literally, yes. And okay, it's like the most compelling. They have like 3 seconds of screen time every season, and yet it's the most compelling 3 seconds you've ever seen in your entire life.
Okay, I love that.
There's I've been working on my John Turturro impression. He has like a really gravelly voice in the show, but he goes, you brought pre-release handbook totes for us. It's like the most erotic thing in the show. God, I love it. Okay, sorry. So now it's like March 5th. Rippling is going over what they're going to do about this spy they've just obviously found. On March 12th, so 10 days ago, here's what Rippling alleges happened. I'm going to read their account of what happened 10 days ago. Armed now with proof that Deal was directing the spy, on Wednesday, March 12th, 2025, Rippling dutifully sought and obtained a court order from the High Court in Ireland. Mind you, this is happening in Ireland. Mm-hmm. To ensure the preservation of any incriminating information on the spy's mobile phone. This court order contained what is known as, in Ireland, a penal endorsement. Is that a sex thing, too?
I hope.
Meaning that a party who fails to comply with the order may be imprisoned for their non-compliance. Last Friday, March 14th, 2025, at Rippling's office in Dublin, a court-appointed independent solicitor served Deal's spy with the court order to preserve his mobile phone. So he shows up at the office and he's like, phone, please. Here's my documents. Give me your phone.
Oh, that's like you've been served.
You've been served.
Okay.
Give me your phone. It's the law in Ireland.
Wow.
You will be imprisoned if you don't give me your phone. Quote, faced with a choice between providing a cell phone for examination pursuant to a lawful court order or going to jail for not complying, the spy chose the latter. In fact, the spy lied to the court-appointed solicitor about the location of his phone, then locked himself in the bathroom, seemingly in order to delete evidence from the phone, all while the independent solicitor repeatedly warned him not to delete materials from the device and that his noncompliance was breaching a court order with penal endorsement. The spy responded the following, and I need you to read this very bravely in your Irish accent.
I am willing to take that risk. Risk.
That's the best Irish accent you can do?
Aye, lassie, I'm willing to take the risk.
Shit.
Fuck.
Before we started filming, I nailed like 3 takes of a different Irish accent.
Mm-hmm.
They're after me like a charms. Sorry to Ireland.
So, again, there's a spy knocking at the bathroom door. Give me your phone. Allegedly, a toilet flushes. He says, you will go to jail. You are risking going to jail if you don't give me your phone. And he says, I'm willing to take that risk. He flees the premises. They have not found him.
And the guy that was trying to give him the papers, like, physically saw that he has his phone.
Uh-huh.
Oh? I mean, you're talking his personal phone, uh-huh. not... Mama, what? Girl, just go to court. Like,
girl, go to court. Girl. It is not worth that amount of money. This is not succession.
Wait, so he must have like busted out of a window?
It's unclear. Or, you know, it's not like it's a cop with a gun who's asking him. So it's possible he opened the door and said, like, beat it, I'm running.
Yeah, oh.
But we do not know where he is.
And he's invisible. He took his band-aids off.
He took his band-aids off. He's just naked. So Rippling runs to court and says, Dio, we're suing you because you obviously had a spy working amongst us. And so they're suing.
And not a good one.
No, and not a good one. So there are seven things that Rippling is suing Dio for. Violation of RICO, the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. Conspiracy to violate RICO. Misappropriation of trade secrets under Defend Trade Secrets Act. Misappropriation of trade secrets under California Code. Tortious interference with a contract, aiding and abetting a breach of fiduciary duty, and unfair competition. So they're suing them for all seven of those things.
Oh, my. Because of a dumb spy.
Because of a dumb spy!
And they chose someone, like, rather high up at the company, I'm assuming because he had access to all that data.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why not go with, like, a lower... Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Like, they go with, like, a lower down... developer who mm-hmm. like has access to things but can be a little bit more sneaky because they're aware of like a digital footprint that they give.
That's the main thing. How are you not aware of your digital footprint? I wish they told us how old this guy is because like, mama, you should have used a pen and paper or like took a picture even with your personal phone, but like just took a picture of your screen.
Yeah. Or like use something that's not attached to a phone number, like a little iPad or something.
Mm-hmm. And that's...
We should open a spy agency.
We kind of should. My God. You ever been to the U Spy store right there on Western?
There's
a U Spy store right on like, it's basically like Fullerton and Western, like there.
How can you shop there? Like, then it gives you away.
It's actually like...
That's the level of commitment we have to our spy company. We won't even shop for our goods.
It's very unsettling being at the U Spy store.
Yeah, like I can only imagine like what kind of like dudes are there.
Yeah, oh, it's... the worst kind of dudes.
People are there.
Well,
mm-hmm. no. Dudes.
Thems.
Not the fist.
So that is the breaking news about Deal and Rippling. So there is no like end to the story because that's
all. It's not over, baby.
It's not over. But this is... I think everyone on tech on LinkedIn has been meme posting about this for weeks, and that's how Sarah heard about it. That's why she told me about it, and I said, well, that's a podcast episode, mama.
Meme posting on LinkedIn.
Yeah, well.
I want to see the person on the side of the keyboard that's posting that. Cause like,
it's what? Parker Conrad.
Parker, clock out.
Parker
and clock into the Trader's Mansion.
Well, that's my Busted Business Bureau.
Oh,
do you feel
this
like
was
you
lovely.
Learned?
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I'm kind of excited for part two. I'm like, when are they going to find him? Like, where
oh
did
my
he
God.
Go?
I will happily invite you back for part two.
Oh, my God, please. When they find... the Invisible Man.
Anything you want to say to the Busted Business Bureau listeners before we go?
I mean, share this podcast. I was telling Christian before we started, I bring this podcast up everywhere. Like, I've talked about it at weddings and anytime I see people. But recently, I shared it across Scruff, which is just another strain of Grindr. But, like, I'm, you know.
Strain. You're crazy for that.
Because it's a sickness. Online dating, not gay people. But.
Thank you, Alan Cumming. That was very... I'm taking my headphones off. I'm leaving. You can keep talking.
But that's all. This is a great podcast. I love Christian.